Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. It's finally over. The legislative session officially came to an end, and Governor Gavin Newsom has signed or vetoed over 1,000 bills that made it to his desk. The aftermath is a range of reactions. Some people are frustrated at the decisions he made, calling Governor Newsom's vetoes discriminatory and a nightmare, while others are thrilled, saying that they're transformative and historic. The bills cover a wide spectrum, including clearing the way for more housing, water rights, renters' rights, adding more paid sick days, the unionization of legislative staff, taxing guns and ammo, as well as banning toxic chemicals in food. A lot of bills and lots to cover. CAP Radio politics reporter Nicole Nixon helps us sift through some of the big bills, but also will dig into some legislation that didn't get as much attention. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning.
Okay, so before we start, this isn't your first rodeo when it comes to what the governor signs or vetoes. You know, let's just get your read on this year's legislative process. I mean, how does it compare to years prior?
I mean, there's always some drama. I think the big drama this year showed some divisions in the Democratic caucuses on criminal justice. There were big policy debates over increasing sentences for fentanyl dealers and child sex traffickers. There were several bills to, you know, stiffen penalties for dealing fentanyl. Only one made it through, though. And this bill or law now just makes it equal to existing law that gives stronger penalties to people convicted of carrying huge amounts of drugs like cocaine or heroin, and now fentanyl. And it's meant to target high-level drug dealers. So fentanyl, I think, will likely be a topic again next year. Other drama this year, lawmakers and industry groups were working on a deal to address this home insurance crisis. We see insurance companies like State Farm and Allstate limiting their business here in California over wildfire risk. That deal fell through in the final hours of the session. I know it's a big priority for the governor and legislative leaders, so we'll see if that takes the form of legislation next year or if the administration will do something in the next couple months here. We also got a new speaker, Robert Rivas, this year. The drama around that really played out last year, though. And Senate Democrats also chose a new leader, Majority Leader Mike McGuire. That transition is still in the works before the current Senate President Pro Tem Tony Atkins terms out next year.
Yeah, a lot has happened in the past 9 months or so. You know, when it comes to the percentage of what was signed and what was vetoed, how did that shake out?
Well, lawmakers sent 1,046 bills to the governor's desk this year. That does not include other bills they've passed that don't require his signature, like resolutions and constitutional amendments. That's according to analysis by a longtime lobbyist, Chris McKaylee. Newsom vetoed 156 of them. That's just under 15%. And according to McKaylee's analysis, that's about in line with his veto rate last year.
You mentioned 1,046 bills that made it to the governor's desk, but there were over 2,600 bills that were introduced over the past year. Is that normal? How does this compare to other states?
I think the legislature sending a little more, around 1,000 bills to the governor, is about average. The biggest recent outlier in total bills passed by lawmakers was in 2020. That's when there was this pandemic. The legislature shut down for more than 2 months, so they lost a lot of bill debate time, and the state revenues were very uncertain. So their bill load that year was very light. I did look up a couple other states. The New York legislature passed more than 800 bills this year. And kind of surprisingly, the Texas legislature also passed more than 1,000 bills this year. But the Texas legislature only meets every other year, so they passed zero bills last year.
Oh, got it. Okay. All right. It just sounds like a lot. It's a lot of busy work. The big one that I want to start with is the mental health reform package. That's going to end up on the March 2024 ballot. Mm-hmm. Remind us what that will accomplish.
So this was the governor's biggest priority this year. It'll reform the Mental Health Services Act, which was the brainchild of Sacramento Mayor Daryl Steinberg 20 years ago when he was in the state Senate. This law uses a 1% tax on income over $1 million to fund mental health services in the state. That money goes to counties, which are the ones that provide this treatment to mostly low-income, uninsured, underinsured folks. So the reforms that Newsom signed last week will make it easier for counties to treat addiction and substance use disorder. Right now, they can only treat people for substance use disorder, SUD, with a co-occurring condition. So if you have addiction and another mental illness, you can get treated for both. The research on addiction and substance use disorder has really changed a lot in the last 20 years. It's, you know, seen more now as an actual mental disorder, not just a character flaw, which is how it's been talked about in the past. So under this new law, people can get treated just for substance use disorder, which is increasingly a problem we see. It also requires counties to use around 30% of their funding on patient housing, the logic here being that people can see more success in their treatment if they have a stable living situation. And then the second part of this package deals with that housing part by asking voters to approve a $6.4 billion bond to build new treatment facilities and beds to house patients. So, like you said, that will be on our March primary ballot as Proposition 1.
Also on the housing front, the governor also signed a package of bills, and that's really aimed at helping tenants. Can you walk us through them?
Yeah, I think the two big ones were there's one that limits your security deposit if you're looking to move into a new place. They want usually a couple months' rent. And then your first and last month's rent, that can easily add up to thousands of dollars. So this bill is meant to lower that barrier into new housing by only requiring landlords to charge 1 month's rent as a security deposit. And then there was another bill that strengthens this anti-eviction law that was passed a few years ago. We've seen landlords use some loopholes through that by, you know, saying they're going to evicting tenants and saying that they're going to, you know, remodel or live there or something like that. And not really. This law makes them show proof of that.
Mm. There were also some firearm pieces of legislation that were signed into law. One is adding new taxes on guns and ammunition. What is the goal of the new taxes for this?
Yeah, this will be an 11% tax on sale of guns and ammunition. This money would bring in, it would raise about $160 million. That money would go toward violence prevention programs, school safety, and enforcement, basically, you know, efforts to confiscate guns from people who are prohibited from having them for various reasons. The supporters pointed out there's already an excise tax on ammo for conservation efforts. They say this is basically mirroring a federal tax on that.
Yeah, and in opposition were gun owners and also county sheriffs in the
Correct.
State.
And there were some moderate Democrats. I mean, Senator Bill Dodd, who represents kind of the rural, like, northern Napa County area, Yolo County, voted against it because he said that it would just, you know, he has a lot of duck hunters in his district and this would cost them money over years.
Another bill that was vetoed, I think this might come as a surprise to some people. The governor vetoed a bill over hearing aids for children. Can you explain that?
Yeah, this bill would have required health insurers to cover hearing aids for anyone under the age of 21. And in a veto message, Newsom wrote that there are ways for children to get hearing aids and related services. They're, you know, under the California Children's Services Program or through Medi-Cal. There were several bills that the governor vetoed due to cost. The state had, smaller revenues this year. The financial picture is very uncertain for future years. And this is one of those things he said it would just end up costing money that the state may not have.
Another bill that we've actually had this conversation on Insight, it would be a bill that would have decriminalized psychedelic drugs, some of them like psilocybin, which is found in mushrooms. It has been decriminalized in other states, but the governor vetoed it here in California.
Yeah, this is one that was closely watched, I think, because there are other states that have made this move. Newsom pointed out that he has made some liberal decisions on recreational drug use in the past during his time as mayor of San Francisco. But he also vetoed a bill this year that would have allowed cannabis cafes or a place where you consume cannabis on site. His reason for that was that it would hurt California's efforts to provide smoke-free workplaces for people. And on the psychedelic mushroom decriminalization bill, he had signaled like he may not he may veto it because he was concerned as a parent. You saw parents speaking in opposition to this bill during, you know, as it moved through the legislature. He also said that he would be open to signing a similar bill next year if it includes regulations and focuses on treatment.
When it comes to the bills that got vetoed, I mean, what happens? Is that just it? Is that just a period, or is there a comma? Does something, is there a future for them?
Well, lawmakers can try again next year. There is this rule that a lawmaker needs permission from the Rules Committee in their House, either the Senate or Assembly, in order to reintroduce a bill that has been vetoed. In some cases, the governor has said he would sign a bill if certain conditions are met, like that psychedelic mushroom bill. And, you know, if the legislature passes something a little bit different, he would look at signing it. And then the author of that psychedelics bill, Senator Scott Wiener, has said he will work on that next year.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Cap Radio politics reporter Nicole Nixon about some of the bills that Governor Newsom signed into law and others that he vetoed. You know, we're talking about a lot of bills here. And a good amount of them did receive a lot of attention. The governor even went on location to sign some of them, which highlighted the importance of that bill. But there were also several that were also really important. One is, you know, I think legislative workers might say was long overdue because there have been multiple attempts, the unionization of legislative workers. How did this one come about? Because it was successful.
Yeah, I mean, talk about bills that are reintroduced year after year. I think this is the fifth version of this bill in, you know, 5 or 6 years. Legislative staff are the only public employees banned from unionizing in California right now. And many of them see this as hypocritical since so many of their bosses are pro-labor. Finally, after all these years, the legislature passed a bill that will allow their staff members to unionize. They can't actually do that until 2026, though. So the next year or two, I think they'll be hammering out the details and starting that collective bargaining process.
What other bills were notable on the labor front?
There were so many labor bills. I think the story a month ago after the legislative session ended was that the legislature really delivered for labor. I mean, they passed bills to raise the minimum wage for fast food workers, for healthcare workers. That last one, the governor signed on Friday. So all workers in the healthcare industry will have a minimum wage of $25. It's kind of phased in depending on the county population, how big your hospital is. But I think the final implementation of that is 2028. The governor also signed a bill to give workers, all workers in the state, a minimum of 5 paid sick days per year, requiring companies to provide that. But he vetoed some bills that would have given workplace protections to domestic workers, safety protections under OSHA. He vetoed a bill that would have required truck drivers in autonomous big rigs. That was a huge priority for Teamsters. And he vetoed a bill that would have allowed workers to extend on extended strikes over 2 weeks to get unemployment benefits, really driven by those extended Hollywood strikes this summer.
When it comes into what he signed into law and what he vetoed, do you think that, you know, that kind of sends a bigger message of a potential run for a higher office?
You know, I think a lot of people are wondering that. I was wondering that about the psychedelics bill. You know, that if he had signed it to just decriminalize it, it could be used in a future run for higher office. I actually asked a prominent labor leader, Lorena Gonzalez Fletcher, about this after the governor vetoed some bills that were big labor priorities. And here's what she said.
I wouldn't think so, because that would be really bad politics. What we know is this. If you look at polling across the United States, labor is actually polling extremely high. We see a president who is doubling down on workers, the first U.S. president to ever walk a picket line. We know that the voters we need in a national election in kind of the Rust Belt, if you will, the Midwest, are pro-worker, pro-union voters, right? So I think if he's doing this to somehow run for national office, he is way off base. I think this is more that he surrounds himself and hears from a lot of businesses, a lot of corporations, and doesn't spend as much time with actual rank-and-file workers.
In the last minute or two we have, Nicole, I think other issues that kind of are an example of this are bills surrounding LGBTQ plus youth. Because some that he did sign some, but he also vetoed some.
Right. He vetoed a bill. This got a lot of attention and a lot of, you know, progressive Democratic lawmakers were very upset that he rejected this bill that in custody dispute cases, would have required a judge to consider a parent's affirmation of their child's gender identity. And this was seen, you know, if he had signed it, lawmakers were upset he didn't sign it. They saw it as sort of a betrayal of trans youth, especially with everything else going on in other states. But he signed a bill, you know, to stop these Florida-style book bans where school districts and states are editing textbooks, banning books that feature diverse perspectives or, you know, talk about what it's like to be an LGBTQ youth right now. And that was seen as, you know, he's kind of walking this line right now on LGBTQ issues. I have to say, on trans issues, he has said that he sees this national debate as a distraction. He thinks that, you know, it's a culture war thing, that Republicans are drumming up fear on this, and that he thinks that, you know, while people deserve rights, obviously, the whole country is devoting too much attention to it.
Cap Radio politics reporter Nicole Nixon. Thanks, Nicole.
Thank you.
You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio. I'm Vicky Gonzalez.